Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories in the outdoors. You've probably heard some version of the old Jewish proverb that goes, "We plan, God laughs." Our next story is kind of like that. It's about what happened when one woman found herself alone in Greece after life took an unexpected turn. Producer Maya Croth brings us the story.
Have you ever tried to swim and cry at the same time? It's harder than it sounds. You have to really fight for those tears because your body knows that swimming is supposed to be fun. Unless you're drowning, I guess. Like, maybe you're actually drowning or just figuratively drowning because the guy you thought you were going to marry left you and married somebody else 151 days later in a bar in San Diego. Just like, for instance. It feels even more ridiculous to cry while you're doggy paddling through some of the clearest, bluest water you've ever seen on a white sand beach in Greece with nobody else on it. Something you might appreciate more if you didn't feel so all alone. I only knew two words in Greek because they were the only words he taught me. Agape mou, my love. I always thought my first time in Greece would be with him. His mom was Greek, and I was always bugging him to apply for citizenship himself. Get an EU passport, I'd say, so we can run off and spend the rest of our lives like growing artichokes in a little Mediterranean village like this one. I had it all planned out. I'm a Virgo with a little bit of OCD. Since I was little, planning has been my thing. It was the way I tamed the anxiety of being a person in the world. It gave me a sense of control. Decide what you want, make a plan, make it happen. Whether I was looking for a job, roasting a chicken, or managing a relationship, it was simple math. Plans plus action equals happily ever after. Agape mou. Didn't have much use for those words now. He was gone with his dad jokes and his perfect nose and his dumb blue eyes. And I was here, off on a new adventure, living the life he said he didn't want to hold me back from. I took off for Europe a couple months after we split, thanks to a fellowship that arrived at exactly the right time. On the surface, it was great. Getting lost in the medieval alleyways of Barcelona, jetting off to Paris for the weekend on a whim. But no matter how many tapas I ate or how many cigarettes I smoked at charming little sidewalk cafes, I just couldn't shake the breakup. I mean, what good was living the dream if I was destined to do it alone? Going to Greece without him felt important somehow. Like maybe if I went there by myself, I could let go of all those dreams that didn't come true. Stop being nostalgic for a future that would never happen. And stop checking his Facebook page 17 times a day. That was the plan. Now I just had to do it. I picked Sardi almost out of thin air. It's a small seaside village in the northern part of the country, and it was the closest Greek beach I could find near the cheapest Ryanair airport. Good enough for 2 days of moping around and feeling sorry for myself. When I arrived, it was raining, a perfect match for my mood. Sardi sits on a fork-shaped peninsula, at the end of the middle prong of the fork. It's surrounded on three sides by the Aegean Sea. The town itself is just a few dusty streets lined with low-slung buildings. There were no four-star resorts, just a handful of empty restaurants and gangs of rangy stray cats slinking around, waiting for scraps. I dropped my bags at my nondescript B&B and walked the three blocks down to the sand. The rain had slowed to a drizzle, and there was nobody on the beach. I waded into the water, and the tears started to flow. On the other side of the bay, there was this mountain, looming 7,000 feet above the sea. Perched at the end of the third tine of the fork, Mount Athos has been attracting monks for more than 1,000 years. That skinny strip of land has 20 monasteries on it, housing about 2,000 monks. Legend has it, the Virgin Mary visited Mount Athos once when a ship she was sailing on blew off course. She was the last woman allowed in before the monks decided to ban women from Mount Athos altogether. Even though I couldn't come within 500 meters of the place, I felt a strange kinship with those monks and the generations of pilgrims who braved the stormy seas to come here and reflect on life's big questions in solitude. It felt like some higher power was calling me to Sardi for the same reason, so I could be alone with my grief, try to make sense of it. The rain started again, and I went to seek shelter at the only place that looked open. This shabby, weathered-looking beach bar, deserted except for the bartender and his one patron, a flirtatious bro in his 30s. The barkeep introduced himself as Christos, and the other guy was his best friend, Theodoros. Christos poured me a shot of suma, a peach-colored drink flavored with cinnamon and rose water. And just like that, it was like I'd been dropped into a scene from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Remember that running joke about how the dad makes a big deal about how every word can be traced back to some word in Greek? These guys were just like that. Right away, Theo launched into an etymology lesson about his name. Theo means God. Doros means gift, he said proudly. Right then, a large woman with a big smile came up behind him and clapped him on the back. God's gift to women, eh? She said. This was Christina, born in Sardi but raised in Australia. She moved back to the village around the same time The Bold and the Beautiful finally started airing here, 10 years late. She called Sardi the land of the forgotten times. They wanted to know what brought me here, why I was all by myself, why I wasn't married. I told them about the artichokes and agape moo and how I used to dream about living in a place just like this with a guy I used to know, but there'd been a change of plans. I'd been blown off course, like Mary. Theo laughed. He knew all about dreams and plans. His was to get out of Sardi, and yet here he was. Christos hoped to fix up the bar, if only he could get some customers, and Christina dreamed of opening up a fish and chips shop in the village. Too bad Greeks don't eat fish and chips, she said. None of them seemed rattled by the fact that their plans kept getting mucked up. I don't know, maybe when your country's banking system falls apart and a migration crisis brings millions of refugees to your shores, you get used to adapting when life throws you a curve. I wished I could be more like that. More able to roll with the punches. Not so devastated when my best laid plans went awry. The three friends taught me some new Greek words. Basically, a bunch of different ways to call someone an asshole. My favorite was malaka. I realized I was laughing for the first time in what felt like forever. Christos poured us another round of suma, and we raised our glasses in a toast. Hello to new dreams, goodbye to old malakas. I spent another day in Sardi, wandering around by myself. Christos' bar was closed, so I walked the empty beach, tried on sunglasses at the empty souvenir store, and ate dinner alone at the empty restaurant. The menu was in English, but the translation was so bad, it might as well have been in Greek. I ordered a dish called eggplant shoes. I thought about how different my first time in Greece was from how I planned it to be. I always envisioned myself here as one half of a tan, glowing expat couple, living out some Hellenic sequel to Under the Tuscan Sun. I used to see it so clear in my mind. Instead, I was eating dinner alone in the rain. Just me and the alley cats. I felt cheated out of that happy ending I'd so meticulously planned for myself. But I also noticed that something inside me had started to shift. I scanned my body for that familiar pit of loneliness and dread that I'd been carrying in my stomach ever since the breakup. It wasn't there. In fact, even after spending most of this vacation by myself, I wasn't sure I actually felt lonely at all. That image of my fantasy European life with my ex was fading, like Michael J. Fox's picture in Back to the Future. It was being replaced by real memories of my new life, which was actually pretty great now that I thought about it. I mean, getting lost in the medieval alleyways of Barcelona, jetting off to Paris for the weekend, trading dirty jokes with new friends over shots of obscure pink liquor on a Greek beach. How could I let heartbreak over some lame ex get in the way of enjoying that? I always dreamed of a European life, and here I was, living it. Oh, by the way, the eggplant shoes, they were delicious. Every January, the townspeople of Sardi gather on the beach for the celebration of the Holy Epiphany. The Orthodox priest throws a cross into the ice-blue waters of the Aegean as a blessing, and the young men of the village race into the waves to retrieve it. The whole freezing cold ritual is meant to recreate the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. Don't tell the monks on Mount Athos, but I don't go in for the Jesus-y stuff. As a metaphor, though, baptism makes a lot of sense. Wash away the old, start fresh. So on my final morning in Sardi, I left my bags in a pile on the beach, and I went for one last swim. The salt in the water made me buoyant, cradling me as I stretched out my limbs to float flat on my back. I don't remember if the sky was cloudy or clear, just that my mind was calm in a way it hadn't been for months. For the first time, everything that happened before felt exactly right, because it brought me here, into this moment, into myself. I didn't have a plan, and it felt okay. It seemed pretty obvious now that planning my way to happiness hadn't exactly panned out. Maybe it was time to just let go. I turned my face to the sun and felt the salt from the seawater dry into crystals on my cheeks. I floated like that for a long time, not knowing where the tide was taking me, but confident that I'd get where I needed to go.
That was Maya Croth. She's a writer and radio producer based between Atlanta and Mexico City. You can read more of her work at her website, mayacroth.com. And she's also been on this show twice before. We've got links to the other stories she's done for Out There on our website, which is outtherepodcast.com. Be sure to tune in on May 31st for the Nature Fix, our new advice segment. This time, we'll be tackling a question about fear, about how to move forward and be brave again after a traumatic experience. Again, that's coming up on Thursday, the 31st. Thank you to Jonathan Cohen, Hillary Klebe, and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. If you're enjoying the show and you're able to make a gift of your own, please consider doing so. Your contributions make this podcast possible. Just head over to outtherepodcast.com and click support. That's it for this episode. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Eggerking, and our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.